2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, it's been a few weeks. He's been on his world tour. Dylan White returns to the show. Dylan, man, how you doing? How's it going?
Not too bad. Shout out to Chris Clegg pinch hitting for me while I was detained with illness. Did a great job. Great podcast. And do I have to look over my shoulder? Or am I?
You're good.
You did a great job.
It was wonderful. But yeah, he was great. It was a huge help. But come on, Dylan. No one can replace Dylan. No one can replace Dylan. Maybe Brian Slack, but that would be about it.
Very good.
Hey, it was the first time I haven't called you the fantasy baseball world champion in at least a month and a half. So you need to pick up on that. I didn't even give you a long, drawn out intro, but you know, World Series is going on, and you know, you're not as important any longer. There's other rings being had. But we're going to talk some FYPD today. We got some questions. We're happy to take some more questions. It's still very early in the off season, and we're still potting on fantasy baseball. So you know, we're always searching for things to talk about, and I think a nice intersection between the World Series and this podcast and fantasy and our topics is the Texas Rangers. Go up 2-1 last night. It was a little bit bittersweet. Adolis Garcia, who has been a historic playoff performer this season. I don't think that's saying anything too out in the ledge. It's been one of the best playoff performances of all time. Goes down with an injury, out for the playoffs, rest of the World Series very likely. Very hard to replace that production. In all likelihood, it's going to be Ezekiel Duran who gets called up. And I understand there's a variety of reasons for that. I talked about it today in an article I wrote up for the site on Wyatt Lankford. But Dylan, if we can dream for a moment here, I think arguably, if you could pick any prospect in the minor leagues in any system to come up and replace one of your top performing hitters in the World Series, in this hypothetical world, regardless of organization, you might pick Wyatt Lankford. And if he's not your first pick, I would argue he's probably top three of guys you think can come up and replace and get that production. And I'm talking about prospects who have not debuted in the major leagues already. You know, obviously you have a guy like Evan Carter who's showing out, et cetera. But Lankford has such a unique combination of really advanced bats and ball skills, excellent approach and on-base ability, big plus power that plays in games. And I know it's only a 44-game sample. We were talking about this off air before we got onto the show. But still, I mean, this guy destroyed competition, made his way all the way up to AAA. I know it was only 5 games, and then I think maybe playoffs. He hit everywhere that he played. And I just think he has the ability to come up and probably hit in the major leagues right away from day one. So it's not going to happen, but how cool would it be if they actually did give Wyatt Lankford a chance? You know, he's not on the taxi squad and I don't think he's been active, but that goes to show just how kind of special Lankford is in the context of this FYPD class, which is very good. And I wouldn't have said this 5-6 months ago. I was team Dylan Cruz, but the more that I watched Lankford throughout the spring and then into the summer post drafts, this is the guy. I would argue this might be, just from a fantasy perspective, you could argue this is the number one fantasy prospect.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. It's the combination of the contact and then the contact quality. Like, he's up in the Soto type where makes contact and then also crushes it when he does. Like Vlad, Mike Trout used to be that way. He's kind of slipped on the contact recently, but that's kind of what we're talking about. And he's got the speed. Like he has the, you know, 15 to 20 stolen base speed, maybe even more. So yeah, he definitely is a very tantalizing fantasy asset. It would be fantastic if he played for the Rangers. I guess I don't know if he's been working out in the offseason, if he's got his timing still. so maybe there's that. But it would just be such a great story too. He's coming in, a lot of pressure, of course, too, to come in and quote unquote replace Adolis Garcia, who, like you said, is having a historic playoff performance. And just in the middle of everything, including like the brawl and everything, he's the story maybe of the playoffs for the Rangers on many sides of the ball. And now having Langford possibly come in to replace him would be a fantastic story.
Yeah,
it's not unlikely.
It's not going to happen. But no. It's funny because if he was with the taxi squad and they had thought like, hey, this could happen, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I know in 2020, when the Rays were in the World Series, they actually did have Wander Franco with the taxi squad for that World Series. And it had been mentioned on a call this morning with our prospect team where talking about this Langford story I just put out, that there was going to be a possibility if there was an injury that Franco would have been called and made his debut in the World Series. We've seen it before. Adalberto Mondesi actually debuted in the World Series in that 2020 playoff. Shane McClanahan and Ryan Weathers both debuted in the playoffs, made their major league debut in the playoffs. And there was another one in 2006, but it was a defensive replacement with the Athletics. And I forget the name off the top of my head. And I don't feel like checking because I'm lazy. So that being said, we asked for some questions here regarding FYPD and anything you might have regarding the rankings. You know, I know that people are still probably months out from their drafts, but there could be some crazy leagues that are starting up sometime in the next month or two. I think the earliest I ever drafted FYPD was the first week of December. But you could be going into your planning phase right now. And, you know, if you're not a prospect maniac and you're digging in, you're probably trying to figure out who are the guys that should be going after. One question that we got, the first one was from Frederick in Boston, but he's a Blue Jays fan. So this might actually be my youngest son sending questions. I don't know if he is a fantasy team. I'll have to check with him. He says, I have a question regarding how high to value Wyatt Langford. I am in a 20-team dynasty league that rosters 100-plus prospects. My question is, how would you feel about a trade of Kyle Tucker for Wyatt Langford and Shane Boz, plus a couple other smaller pieces? Is this enough value for Tucker? I think Langford and Boz can be special, but obviously Tucker is a top five player in dynasty and still in his prime. I appreciate your thoughts. I added more context below. And he kind of gave us the rundown of what his roster looks like. Dylan, I'm going to kick it over to you, man. We want to know what you think. People don't want to know what I think. So would you make this trade?
I don't hate it at all. I think logically you have to take the Tucker side, but Wyatt Langford could be Tucker in 2 years. And then since he's only 21, almost 22 now, that means he's Tucker at age 24 and you have, you know, 8 to 10 years of 30-30 type production, possibly 20-30. But Tucker is in his prime now. I think he's 27, 26, and he's like a 30-30 guy already. So, I mean, it's always like the bird in hand is worth more than two in the bush. And that's what Tucker is doing right now. It's right on that threshold, right on that bubble where like Langford's going to debut next year or in the World Series this year. And, you know, he's not going to be 30-30 right away. But, you know, 2025, he's going to probably be 25-25, I think, in a great lineup. And he's going to be one of the most prized assets and most, you know, sought after assets in Dynasty League. So it's like if we fast forward it to 2025, then, yeah, do this deal any day of the week, basically. But, you know, there's a year or two of Kyle Tucker dominating right now. Shane Boz, of course, is a... you know, the dark horse in this, and I love Shane Boz. You know, he's kind of a mid threes ERA guy. Of course he has injury risk. So there's that. If he didn't have injury risk, I think I probably would actually lean Langford and Boz, but the sort of the injury risk of Shane Boz not really putting together a full season yet and having arm troubles here and there periodically is cause for concern. So I guess long story short, I rambled there. I think logically, if you did some sort of mathematical comparison between the two, it would be the Tucker side is better just because of like the discount rate of the immediate production versus the future production. But in like 2 years, you'd be looking back thinking, I could have had Langford and Boz for Tucker back then. Why didn't I do that? So that there is a case for the Langford-Boz side based on window. But I think right now you could one could get more for Tucker and having that asset instead of Langford and Boz right now. And of course, all that could change by June. I don't know if I answered the question.
Yeah, I
think it's very close. It's very, very
close. I mean, because the thing with it, the dark horse is Boz, that he could more than make up the difference in stolen bases. Like, I can see Langford and Tucker not being far off, but maybe Langford being like 10 to 12 spots, maybe lower in an overall dynasty startup draft because Tucker has that speed. You're trading some age, but not a ton. So I think like it really does come down to how much you believe in Shane Boz. If you believe in Shane Boz and you think, hey, this guy can give me 100 innings next year and then 150 the year after and be one of the top like K to BB type of arms, you know, in terms of when he's in the lineup, he's helping my ratios and boosting my K per nine numbers. I can see the value there. Points league, I might actually almost definitely do this in a points league. I think Roto, I'm a little bit more hesitant just because of the difference that a Tucker can make versus multiple players, even if they're good players. And I think like if you're rebuilding, this isn't a bad trade to make. You know, if you're 2 years away from like a real competitive window, probably not a bad trade. So there's probably some league context too, but I think just your standard 5x5, 20 team dynasty league, it's always tough to give up a guy like Tucker because you can still get 7 or 8 years of good Kyle Tucker. Like that's not out of the realm of possibility in terms of, you know, what could be out there. Even if the steals drop down a little bit, like he's still going to mash. So it's tough. That's a tough one, but hopefully we gave you some context and some things to think about, but.
There's no wincing if you hear that trade was made like, ooh, how could that guy do that trade?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I like that. That's interesting. That's fascinating. Curious how it turns out, that type of thing. So
yeah, exactly. The second question that we had, we'll get into it. You know what? We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Meet Charlie. She loves dogs.
Guilty.
She powers her pup empire with Shopify.
The sales won't stop.
With Charlie's tech needs sorted, she can focus on turning her home business into a global operation. Yes, boy. Join Shopify, the commerce platform powering millions of businesses worldwide. This is possibility, powered by Shopify. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.co.uk/green. Go to shopify.co.uk/green to start selling online today.
All right, and we are back. Dylan, I had teased an interesting question before we went to break. And this one, I think, is going to be one of the most highly debated, divisive players in FYPD rankings. And I think it's really hard to know where to rank him versus where you would have ranked him had he not debuted in the major leagues. That, of course, is the Angels Nolan Chanuel, first baseman. We know the plate skills are good. He showed it at the highest level. There's bat to ball skills. There's approach. But there's a major question on the power, and especially for a guy who's a first baseman, you know, that's a major component of that profile typically. If you're going to roster a corner infielder or a first baseman or even use one of those guys in utility, you're typically looking for a guy that's more of a power booster. That being said, maybe some of his fantasy value is going a little underrated. I think we're about 10 spots off from each other in this one. So I think you're 10 and I have him 20. I don't have it in front of me. I can double check, but he's a player that you like, and I don't dislike Shanuel. He's just not necessarily, I have him 19 and you have him 9. So 10 spot difference, but there's just other guys that I'm more excited about, I guess is what it comes down to, than Shanuel. But you know, if I'm sitting there and he was there at 19, I would absolutely take him 100%. So I'm not off of him entirely. I just think like I probably would have had him 19 if he didn't debut. Like that's just sort of how I view him as a player. So he's one of our bigger differences in the top 50. What are your thoughts on Shanuel and where do you think the future production lies and the value? Is there a style of league he's more valuable in, that sort of thing?
Yeah, there's a lot there in Nolan Shanuel. So I think, I don't think there's any chance he's going to be available at pick 19. I think he's going to be taken in the first round. Question obviously is where. And the reason he will be taken is because he debuted and because they had him at the top of the order for most of the season. He had that crazy on-base streak, etc. Like if he did not debut and I was just putting together my FYPD rank based on what I do, Robo Scout and his contact rate and exit velocities, he would not be 9. Definitely would not be 9. We've talked about, many people have talked about how, you know, his exit velocities are just not strong at all. But you know, there's a place for someone, even at first base, if you have a good batting average, good on-base percentage, even if you are like Luis Arraez, I know that's, you know, he's an outlier, but someone with no real power, no real speed, but yeah, it's batting average and on-base, like that's still a very valuable player in Roto Fantasy. I did the auction calculator on Fangraphs just before the podcast, using sort of the NFBC main event parameter. So 15 team, 2 catchers, 5 outfielders. Luis Arraez was worth $18, which is basically the same as Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who was $18.01. More than Josh Naylor, more than Torkelson, more than Alec Baum. So there's a case that, you know, everyone's talking about no power, no speed. You can't afford to have that on your fantasy team. But, you know, with the right roster construction, you know, just focus on the Hunter Renfros or whatever in your outfield. He is a very valuable contributor. So I like Nolan Shanuel because the Angels had him leading off. They seem committed to that. You're going to get Mike Trout back, Taylor Ward, maybe Shohei Ohtani. I don't know. probably not. it's a full season of it. Steamer has him projected for 14 home runs. I do think that's high. But he's only 22. So if you're going to get 10 to 12 home runs as a 22-year-old, when you're 27, you're going to luck into 20 to 25 at some point in one of those years. So it's not completely empty. I know he doesn't have the exit velocities now, but I do think they'll go up. So I think he's a guy that, you know, 12 home runs, 280, maybe that's too high, batting average, 340 on base. Like, it's not the most captivating, but as a rookie and only 22 years old and, you know, another 8 years of production, I think that's a pretty valuable fantasy asset, especially since he's going to be contributing right from opening day.
Yeah, I think you might even be light in the OBP, to be honest with you. I think it'll be higher than that even. I think he's a guy that could hit, whatever, 275, 280 with, like, a 385 OBP. Like, he's going to push 400.
Yeah, I don't know why I said 340. 360.
Yeah. It's because he walks so much.
Yeah,
I guess, like, I just worry about – I go after a lot of skill hitters in mid-rounds, and, like, I worry that a guy like this with the investment, I'm not necessarily getting the trade upside that I think I can get with other guys in that range, I'll say. And even like as a competing team, just I don't need a first baseman right now. So when I'm looking at like who's more of a a tradable asset, you know. It would be tough for me to take him over like in Arjun Namala or like a Bryce Eldridge, or even like a Tommy Troy, just because I feel like all those guys have pretty short paths to like top 60 relevancy in fantasy leagues, like immediately, you know. And if you're dealing with like a rebuilding team, I just don't know if they necessarily go after Shanuel. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm thinking out loud right here, but he's just not the style of player that I typically would chase like in the top 10 to 12 picks. That said, in my 12 team head-to-head points league, keep 8, and then you have prospects that you can keep for 2 years as free keepers if they're promoted from your minor league system. I would probably take Shanuel in like the top 5 or 6 there, just because it's a shorter window and I get him for free. And guys like in that points format, guys like Steven Kwan are like top 25 to 30 hitters sometimes, you know. Like Luis Arias is a valuable one. He doesn't strike out, guys like that. So I don't know. I think in a deeper 5x5 dynasty, whether it's OBP or average, it wouldn't matter all that much. I think I'm probably less apt to roster him or just to chase him in general. But I do think in points, I definitely would be more in. And especially if it's a shallower, where it's like, it's really more of a feeder system than a hold and, you know, a draft and hold and wait sort of situation with your minor league system, probably would be more in on Shanuel. We have a little bit of a differing opinion here on this guy for sure.
But I mean, your point about like the trade value, like, I mean, that's a very good point for sure. Like if you tried to trade Shanuel, there are probably, you know, a quarter of your league mates will laugh saying like, I don't want him because, you know, the discourse is that this guy is no good and played way over his head. And so you'll have a hard time moving him. But the flip side is that's maybe a guy you want to target in a trade because
fair.
The person who has Shanuel is thinking like, I won't be able to unload this guy and I might be stuck with a guy with no ceiling at all. It's definitely true about the your league format, of course, that I usually play in dynasty leagues where it's like keep forever. So there's no like contracts or you have, you know, 7 years once they debut, all that stuff. It's always like you have them forever. But if there is a, you know, a window of production or you can't have an Arjun Namala in the minors for too long or whatever it is, like, of course, that's going to play a factor. So that's something I wasn't considering when I was talking earlier. Shanuel will be producing in the majors immediately. He may not be producing that well. And so it's kind of the situation I often see with pitching prospects where they'll come up and their first year, they're not very good. And the second year they're like, fine, but like, you have to make a decision of how you got to keep them on your roster because they're taking up a valuable spot with only like a 7 bench or whatever. Cause they tend to take a longer time to sort of manifest into the pitchers they're going to become. So it's kind of, if you're having Shanuel with kind of middling fine production for a few years, and you can't afford to wait, you know, 3, 4, 5 for him to become sort of an average first baseman, then maybe it's like that's definitely a factor that has to be considered.
Mm. Yeah, you know, he's divisive. He's interesting. I don't think he's without value, and I don't think that he's a bad player. And I think you're probably far more pragmatic in your approach on this than I am, you know, and removing preconceived biases. I don't know. Or I'm just stupid and I'm like Patrick Starfish and I like the shiny thing in Bryce Eldridge and the exit velocity numbers, which is totally in the realm of possibility. We got another question here, and I think it feeds into our last conversation, but I think there's some other players that we probably also have disagreements on, and it was, who is the player that you two have the biggest that you guys completely disagree on is the phrasing. I don't know. I don't think we completely disagree on Shanuel. We have, I was looking at it before, we have a pretty big separation on Kendall George, and we talked about that a little bit in the last podcast. Our separation on Colin Hawk is fairly large, but I don't remember you being that low on Colin Hawk. We're lower on Thomas White versus each other. You're 38, I'm 56. Charlie Soto, you're 41, I'm 66. Seeing a theme here with some of the prep pitching. I'm 74 on Trevor Werner, and you are 39. And I like Trevor Werner, so it's not like I dislike him, but you truly believe that he's going to be one of the better college hitters from this draft, though, at least based on the numbers and some of those things. Am I wrong to categorize it like that?
You're not wrong. I really like the underlying data, and RoboScout really liked him too. I think, like, with Kendall George and Trevor Werner, it's like, I like George too. It's just that, like, you really like George. And so, like, you like Werner, and I really like Werner. So it's like, that's why the discrepancy happens, that, you know, we're kind of planting our flags in a way on the guys we think are better than the sort of the consensus rank.
Yeah, exactly. I think Luke Kuechel's another one. I saw a lot of Luke Kuechel. I think he can hit. I think the power started to come in. I think he's a really good ball player. Like, just does a lot of things well that help a team win. And I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities. I'm also really high on Mike Bobby. I think it's a great hit tool. I think there's more power to come. I think he's in the right organization to develop that profile. Not the Brewers have, like, crushed it with hitters. But they get their guys there, and I think the players have improved. And there's opportunities for Bovey as well. We had a pretty big disagreement on that one. A little bit higher on Travis Honeyman. A lot of these guys are like Cape guys I've seen be really good. So I might be higher than, like, consensus on some of these players just based on my own anecdotal scouty bullcrap experience, right?
No, but that's valuable, right? That a lot of
I think other rankers
don't have that.
I think with, like, FYPD stuff, it does make a difference because it's so hard to, like, measure data and performance and these small samples and pro ball and everything else. Two guys that you're higher on, I think, are interesting are Max Anderson and Jonathan Long, who both can hit. And, like, I know Anderson in particular was a really good college player. Kind of the inverse of that is Ben Williamson for me, who I'm really high on. I have William and Mary. Shout out to Mason McRae. He was great in the Cape. It's a really good body. And the feedback, people, there's data there, and the scouts like him too. So, like, I think Ben Williamson could be a guy that we look back on, like, in a year and, like, oh, this guy really, really broke out. Like, if that was, he went a lot earlier. But if that's, like, Zach DiCenzo next year, like the older college guy that has a really good year, not putting draft, you know, and bonus numbers on it or anything, but just the older college guy who has a good year that maybe is a little bit unexpected, it might be Ben Williamson. And he's a better defender than DiCenzo is, you know, and he hits the ball hard. Like, it's not that power. Plate skills might be a little bit better. He's a little good, but he's a good athlete. So I think he's a real interesting one. Any other players that you want to shout out here, Dylan, before we wrap up? We're almost at a half hour. We try to keep these shows tight in the off season. It leaves us some stuff to talk about. Anyone else you wanted to shout out before we wrap up?
Not really. Yeah, the Ben Williamson one was an interesting one because, like, I based my rank on his 2022 college data, or 2023 college data only. So his 86% contact rate, 105 90th percentile exit velocity, which is very good. That combination is very good. But I didn't see any data, and, like, professionally, RoboScout didn't see enough to make any conclusion. So I was a bit conservative on where I had him. I probably am a bit low, to be honest. But that's a good one. I like the fact, I love the discrepancies that we have because they weren't so egregious. Like, I have someone 20 and you're like, no, not rankable at all. We're always kind of within, you know, 30-ish at the most,
generally, and the reasons completely make sense, are completely justifiable, and it's, we're just coming at it from different vantage points, and the aggregate blend is in a good spot. That's, we're completely comfortable. Both of us are completely comfortable with. So I liked the process and I liked how it worked. So I mean, maybe in a future one we'll have like our individual ranks posted, so the subscribers can see how we differed. Maybe that's something we can do.
Yeah, for sure. We'll do more on this. We're going to dive in more. We'll have more rankings coming. We were having some chats before we got on air about the content to come and how we're going to roll it out. So we're going to have fantasy content earlier this year. We're going to be able to spread it out a little bit more, get more in depth, and you know, hopefully help you guys not just crush your drafts, but crush your off season. I think that's the biggest thing. It's just finding your target players, the people you want to go after, the players that you want to acquire, and figuring out how you can get them, getting those pieces, making some interesting deals, finding some of those, you know, underrated assets, however you're able to add. You know, I know there's a variety of functions in dynasty leagues, depending upon your setup, whether there's contracts, whether there's a big draft or an auction or just strictly trading, right? There's always different ways to acquire players, and, you know, the best managers do a lot of their best work right now, frankly. You know, the early trading season where people are a little bit scared, going out there and finding the deals early when, you know, there might be some managers who are looking to trade some pretty good players that can help you next year. So do your homework, get to work, and we'll go from there. If you want to email any other fantasy questions to us, we're happy to take any of these at any point in time. Please send that over to me at jeff.ponce at Baseball America. That's GEOFF.PONTES at baseballamerica.com. Or you can obviously send them to me on Twitter. If you want to hide them from your league mates, you can send them to my DMs are open. It's fine to do it that way. You can send us questions as well directly to the link of this podcast that will be dropped later today. So, Dylan, thank you for joining me. And thank you, everyone out there, for listening. We'll be back next week. Cheers.